in coming together as the family of God for some food and fellowship time, and now time in hearing your word, speaking your word, and being at your feet, Lord, as we hear your word preached. And I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts are pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last Wednesday, I talked about how our theme for this Advent is the Advent Conspiracy. And this week, as our text from 1 Timothy chapter 6 refers to those things that can become our distractions in life. And one of those is advertisements, or ads, if you will. We can't help but be entertained by these advertisements. And the trick is the advertiser only has 1 to 2, maybe 2 and 20 seconds to grab your attention and keep your attention so that you'll watch the next episode or whatever, so you'll watch the next ad, right? That's what consumerism is all about, you watching ads, and therefore you buying whatever the products are that they are advertising. Especially around Christmas time, people get really, really creative. Sometimes it's almost to the point where you laugh out loud, they're so funny. And it's so grabby, just grabs your attention and pulls you in. And so we continue this Advent Conspiracy series, focusing today on how we can resist these temptations to be lured into this kind of consumer-driven world that we are living in. And to the point of, not that consumerism is bad, but where we tend to consume beyond our needs and our means as well. The basic idea is that we want to find the true story of Christmas in the midst of the consumerism that seems to override the meaning of Christmas. I was talking to somebody this weekend in Lincoln when I was there for my training, and he said, Pastor, chaplain, he said, do you suppose one day we won't have Christmas anymore? I said, absolutely not. This is the biggest time where people spend all their money. They have a reason to spend more money than what they have even. This Christmas will last forever, to the end of the world, won't it? I mean, what would our businesses do, right? But we all have that tendency to want to overspend in the midst of this season. But instead, that we would remember the true meaning and take this opportunity to share as we turn our hearts towards Christ. One pastor put it this way. He said, Christmas started in Palestine as a fellowship. It moved to Greece and became a philosophy. It moved to Italy and became an institution. It moved to Europe, it became a culture. And it came to America and it became an enterprise. An enterprise. Has it really become just an enterprise? Think about it. What's the fastest growing religion in the world? What do you suppose? Islam? Good guess, no. Christianity? No. It's actually the dollar. Currency, money. That's the fastest growing religion in the world. Fastest growing item in the world. And it's nothing new. It's also known as and packaged as consumerism. But consumerism, it's a belief system that if we spend, we feel better about ourselves. Like Black Friday, right? Same kind of thing. It's a kickoff. We want to get that deal, that adrenaline rush of getting that deal. Then we got to return the TV anyway, right? But it's addicting. It becomes really that drive that we have to get that deal, to get that perfect gift. And in a sense, that gives us fulfillment and satisfaction. And we're no different than anyone else, really. We are all lured into that mindset, that consumer mindset. Because we believe that material things can make us happy, that they elevate us above our current circumstances until the bills come in. But it's not all bad. It's not all bad. Yes, it's messy, but we know that the story here is that Jesus came into our mess. This is what the Christmas story is all about. The simplicity, the miraculous events of Jesus coming into our mess. Last week I referred to Luke chapter 2, speaking about Mary, where she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, wrapped him in clothes, and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This story itself is bought and sold and marketed and commercialized hundreds, even thousands of years. So we need to go back to these basics of what Christmas is all about. We need to call on, as Timothy says, our old companion of contentment to help us. We look at this text. In verse 6, as I read, where Timothy is writing, or I should say, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, where he says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." We are to be content with our circumstance. And unfortunately, we do the opposite. We are more often content with where we are in our faith and very discontent with our circumstance. The truth is, everything we have, including our health, home, etc., everything belongs to God. It's a gift from Him. And then he continues in verse 7. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." So here's the bottom line. Whether you feel like you have a lot, or whether you feel like you have little, work at wanting what you have, even when you don't have everything you want. That's what contentment is. Work at wanting what you have, even when you don't have everything. And really, the key to contentment is not having everything you want. Because if you did, then you wouldn't be content. If you know Christ, then no matter what situation you are in, you have everything you need to be content. Tough times teach us what really matters, what we really need, how to live within our means. Contentment doesn't emerge out of what we do. It grows out of what we go through. Like last Wednesday, I mentioned some of those things that we can do in recognizing and exercising this time of Advent. And so that in verse 19, Luke chapter 2, verse 19, back to Mary. Mary listened to all that the shepherds told her. She gathered up all these things and pondered them and treasured them in her heart. Meaning Jesus is the true treasure. The simple yet miraculous story of the Savior's birth is good news and great joy for all people. We see it in simplistic ways with the intimate details, as well as these amazing miracles that surround the birth. God wants us to invite Him into our impossible situations. What is it that you're worried about right now? You don't have anything, I can share something with you. So you can worry with me. And what is that one thing that maybe you lose sleep over, or that wakes you up at night? Maybe it is finances. Maybe it is a relationship. But it's times like these where we're reminded of these words to Mary from the angel Gabriel, where he says, "For nothing is impossible with God." Because with God's help, we can conspire against these cultural tendencies to fall into the arms of consumerism in a bad way. And instead, that we would remember that we looked at the top of the Christmas tree, right? Not to the bottom of the Christmas tree first, where all the presents are, right? Stars on top. What's the star do? It points us to the Savior. That's where the true gift that will last beyond this world that we have. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you for that gift of the assurance that we are forgiven, that you call us your children, and that's something that we cannot put a dollar sign on, that you are the source of our contentment, that you spent way beyond what we could ever imagine to pay for each one of our sins. It is you who give us this amazing gift of salvation, that it's got your name written all over on it for us. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. We continue with our